And it wasn't a hard pass or a bullet pass. It was more
like
just
an alley-oop almost.
Yeah, it's just a soft, what we call saucer pass, you know, just off the ice and lands perfectly right on Tanner's stick. So, big goal.
That made it 1-1. And but the Mashmeyer goal late in the second period, or first period, really hurt the Huskies. This was with just a few seconds left. 19:51, Mashmeyer from Joseph Mano. This gave the Wildcats a 2-1 lead.
21 seconds left to go in the period. Tied 1-1. Here at the Berry Event Center, Mitch Jones at the point, held in by Mashmeyer. He'll send it over. Shot taken by the Wildcats. Another shot. Scores! Mashmeyer again with the goal. Over the shoulder of Phillips on the short side. And that puck looked to be on edge just a little bit with Mashmeyer. Didn't look like much was happening there, and all of a sudden it's in the net.
Yeah, it didn't look like much was going on there, Coach. And what were your thoughts on that goal?
Well, everything started really. We had control of the puck, you know, and here's puck management. These are the things that just you pull your hair out as a coach. So, you know, it's late in the period. You have to understand what's going on, and we do not get the puck deep. We turn it over in what I call, or coaches refer to, as danger zones. Danger zones are anywhere from the top of the circles to the blue line in either zone. And we turned it over in, you know, I guess I'd say our offensive danger zone, and now they get a rush off of it. And we still get guys back. We had a chance to clear it. Unfortunately, it bounces off a stick and goes right to Mashmeyer. And so you're right. It's sort of it's a bouncing puck, and he just, you know, shoots it. And, you know, uncontested, Jamie sees it the whole way, and it just beats him. And tough goal to give up late in a period like that with under 10 seconds. Those are the goals you don't like to give up at any point. So bad goal for us, tough bounce. And, you know, you go into that. Now you go in that locker room, you're behind. And, you know, we just – one of the things is we just never seem to get much momentum or a lead all weekend. And we'll talk about Saturday too. But we just never could quite get – and we didn't on the road ahead.
And that made it 2-1 in favor of Northern. We go to the second period. We outshot them 9-6 in the second, 11-6 in the first. And I wanted to get your thoughts on the second period Friday night, Coach, because to me it didn't seem like it was a very – I don't want to say it was a boring game, but there wasn't a whole lot going on between the two teams after a kind of exciting first period.
Well, yeah, there wasn't. I think it was more of a feeling out process. You get in those Olympic sheets, and you got to work harder to get to the net. And I think part of the style that they play is predicated. We had the puck a lot. We had the puck a lot, and, you know, you're on offense, and you're trying to get to their net, and they're defend. And, you know, it makes it tough. They always have guys back. There's not too many outnumbered rushes style they play. And, you know, we just couldn't seem to penetrate through that.
So the Huskies go into the third period trailing by a score of 2-1, and they give up a goal. Dominic Schein gets his fifth of the season. Gerard Hansen, the second assist of the night. And Brock Mashmeyer, his third point of the night at the 4:12 mark, giving the Wildcats their biggest lead of the game.
Schein back up top for Sooth on the half wall. Sooth will break it to the net, back to the point. Mashmeyer changes the shot line. Hansen, backdoor shot, scores! Nice play by the Wildcats. Great job by Mashmeyer to fake the shot, then go over to the right dot, and then backdoor play. Wildcats take their biggest lead of the game, 3-1.
I thought that was a nice play by the Wildcats. They really used some diversion there to kind of throw everybody off.
Well, they did, but when you watch it back on tape, you know, unfortunately, C.J. Ike drops a stick, and when he does that, he goes to pick it up, and consequently, he opens up a passing lane right to Dominic Schein. You know, if C.J. just would have stood there in that passing lane and just waited to a little more appropriate time to go get a stick, then things would have been shut down. But good play by them. I mean, Mashmeyer reads a play, makes a good pass, and you know, Jamie, that's one of those goals, one of the two goals all weekend where we gave up, you know, inside the top of the circles where you know, he really didn't have a chance on.
So you we're down 3-1. We get a major penalty on a very controversial call on Cliff Watson. He's out of the game. We lose Blake Pietila to a 10-minute misconduct. We've already lost Mike Neville to injury. We've got guys banged up. It just seemed like everything was against us at that time.
Well, things weren't going our way, I'll tell you that. But that's when you find out a lot about your team, you know, and that's, you know, why you play the game. You play right to the end because every play matters and every minute matters. And we talk about that a lot. You know, you play right to the end, then you look up and see what the score is. But you're right. You know, we lost Mike Neville early in the second period. So now we're down 1-4 and we're juggling lines, and then you lose Blake, who's, you know, arguably one of our leaders and top players, and then Cliff on a hit, and you know, which later on, the referee, the head of referees, was at the game, actually, and he said, you know, he just thought that was a good hit, and the linesman made the call. And that's what bothers me about that is I won't get too into the refereeing, but, you know, you have to make sure. If you're going to call a five-minute penalty, you have to make sure. And you know, I just want to know who made the call. Just tell me who made the call, and then I'm going to ask you, okay, did you see it? And if you saw it, and that's your judge, it's a judgment. Right. All refereeing is a judgment. Then you know you have to accept that. But when they told me, you know, the linesman made the call, and you know I never did get to ask him because I didn't find out till really later that he made the call, and he wasn't there Saturday night, obviously. So, but that's you got to be careful. You have to really be careful and make sure that you're seeing what you're seeing. He's got enough trouble worrying about linesman, let alone trying to now all of a sudden you're going to call penalties. I get it. If it's blatant and brutal and you see it and excuse me, and the referees for some reason get blocked by it, I get it. But that wasn't the incident here. Both referees saw it. Neither one calls a penalty. Yeah. Another one gets his arm up. The play goes on for a little while. And the only reason they stopped it is because the guy's hurt. Yeah. And he didn't hurt. You know, they call it hit to the head or blindside hit. But, you know, he actually had hurt his hip. You know, just when he got hit, he got twisted and fell. And anyway, I just, having said that, everything's going on, and you have to keep your cool. You have to keep your focus because there's a lot of hockey left. But that was one of the keys to the game, I thought.
Oh, absolutely.
Is us being able to kill that 5 minutes off, which was huge. Our penalty killers did a real nice job.
Well, let me give you my take on this because I know you're only allowed to say so much. I'm allowed to say a little bit more. But my I know I understand the effort to really focus on taking any kind of hits to the head out. But
right.
They were the blind hits, especially at open ice play. But this guy came in to Cliff Watson.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem I had with it. Cliff was there, and it was a head-on collision. It wasn't anything that, and he had the puck. You know, that's the part that bothered me.
And what we tell, what do you expect Cliff to do at that point? You know, I mean, just get out of his way and let him go right to the net. I mean, it's
and he's making a play to the net too, which is another part.
Oh yeah, and he's got his head down. He gets his head down. Yeah. He's trying to drag the puck, and anyway, it's a good hit. And you don't want to take kidding out of the game. And I understand they want to, you know, be more safe or safer, you know, especially with the hits to the head. I get it. I understand that. And, you know, coach, I'd want our players protected too. So, anyway, tough situation, but I thought our penalty
killers.
But
we killed it off.
Yeah, penalty kills did an excellent job.
They did.
Which we needed. We needed that, and that gave us some momentum.
We did. We're down 3-1. So then we start getting some power plays. They call a 5-minute major on one of their players, and I think that was that Kesty again?
Well, he had need two other guys in the game.
Very
first shift, and they let that go, which you know, whatever. And then, you know, the second one they did call a trip, and then so that was a third time that he, and that's dangerous. That's you got to watch that. So, and I will say he was much better on Saturday. I mean, there was none of that, and that's good.
So we get the power play, 5-minute major. We go on a 5-on-3 also, but we do get a goal. Tyler Hanenden, his goal on the power play from Patan.
Huskies still control. Here's Hanenden now. Hanenden to the front of the net. Here's a chance for L'Espérance. What a one-timer that was. Saved by Dahlstrom. Hanenden again. Pass from Patan. Scores! Hanenden scores! At the doorstep there, it's Patan to the front. And the Huskies get one with 3 minutes still remaining in the power play. 6:36 left of the period. The Huskies down by one.
You know, Tyler's really had a nice knack the last few games of being around the net and putting the puck in the net.
Well, he is. He's not afraid to stand in front of the net there, and you know that, and that's where he's picking his goals up. Mm-hmm. He's not picking it up on any rushes or fancy shots or anything like that. It's just hard-nosed hockey. You have to get to that scoring area. That's a tough place to stand, and Alex Patan made a real nice play, but you know, you got Blake Piedel in the box. We had David Johnstone in the box at the time, so now all of a sudden we're trying to figure out, you know, who's on our power play and what we're going to run, but nice play by Alex. And good finish by Tyler, which was a huge goal. Now we still have 3 minutes left in the power play, and now we have some momentum.
Yeah, and then we get a 5-on-3 advantage,
right.
And we capitalize on it. Shane Hanna with the game-tying goal again from Alex Patan, who might be our most consistent player at this time of year right now.
Him and Tanner are playing exceptionally well. We have some other guys playing fairly well, too. But as far as the whole pitch, as far as points and every night, yes, no question.
And Shane Hanna gets the tying goal, 15-51 into the third period.
Brought up now by Hanna. Hanna will bring it inside of the zone. Hanna still controlling. Right side, back to the point. Hanna over for Johnstone. Huskies looking for that one perfect shot. Here's Johnstone. For Patan, here's Hanna with a shot, scores! Hammond with the shot ties the game on a one-timer. And it's 3-3.